The title of the message today is, Let Your Light So Shine. And that comes right out of the Scriptures, Matthew chapter 5, is what Jesus said. Of course, the series of messages these last few weeks has been Flee the Darkness. We know the Scriptures are clear. We heard in the first message that we are to abstain from every or any appearance of evil. Any. We also know that we're to shine the light to call others out of darkness. That's what we heard last year. Even churches are called to shine the light and draw people out of darkness. Even those who are religious instead of relational. Today we're going to examine something that our Lord said to His followers about following and shining the light into the world. Now, He was speaking to those people at that time. There's no doubt in our minds about that because they were there. But it extends beyond them. It's not just them. It is all who believe. We are commanded to let our light so shine that others would see our lives and glorify God. Now, the passage that we're going to start with is found on page 1496 in those Bibles there in your seats. Page number 1496. Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to begin with verse 1. We'll read the first 16 verses. But before we do, I'd like us to pray. Heavenly Father, only You are almighty. And so here now, I surrender completely to You. Please forgive my shortcomings and my excesses. Give me Your power to preach Your Word today. Help me to shine the light of Your Word into the world, Lord. I thank You for our listeners from all over the world. I think we had almost 40 different countries and more than 40 states last month that listened in on our sermons. And we thank You for that. We thank You for those across this continent who are listening, some even now. And Father, we ask that You would just take a hold of Your Word and seed it in the hearts of the people who hear the messages. Overcome my weakness, Lord. Clear my mind and all of our minds from any distractions. Please teach us from Your Word to flee darkness. Open the eyes and ears of our understanding, Father, that we would receive Your truth with love, and Your grace, and even, if necessary, Your chastisement. Enable us to give ourselves completely to You, Father. Help us to learn what it means to shine our light. Empower us to share Your good news of victory over darkness. We know that this is only made possible by the light of Christ. We believe, Father. We believe. But we need Your help to conquer any unbelief. The enemy of souls comes against us, and we need You to pour Your Spirit upon all who hear this, Lord, to overcome any darkness, that we would resist the devil and he would flee. We pray in Christ's name, and all of God's people said, Amen. As I said, we're going to read from chapter 5 in Matthew's Gospel record, page 1496, excuse me. And this is where we hear what's commonly called the Beatitudes. And then beyond that, we hear something else. And we're going to focus on that something else. But first, we need to get through this so we catch the context of what He's speaking in. And seeing the multitudes, He went up on a mountain. And there were multitudes of people that were following Him. There, I'm sharing with you now some background, that followed Him. He went up on a mountain. Now, I don't know about you all, but I've walked some mountains, and they're not always easy to walk. But there were multitudes of people that were following along behind Him up on this mountain. And when He was seated, His disciples came to him, and then he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." And I have to ask, can you be too poor in spirit? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meekness is not weakness, by the way. It is constrained strength. They shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We cannot be too merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You're blessed when you're reviled? You're blessed when you're persecuted for His sake? When they say all kinds of evil against you falsely, you're blessed? Well, that's what He says. And then He says, rejoice. Now, how many of us jump up and down rejoicing when somebody says something bad about us? Those Christians, you know. It's hard for us to jump up and down and rejoice, right? But He's telling us to. Great is your reward in heaven. How many of us can wait for that? It's hard. It's not easy to wait for that reward, but it is there. He said, it is there. Great is your reward in heaven. And why? He says, rejoice. He said, because they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, He's speaking to those people at that time who followed Him up on that mountain. This was work. They had to walk up this mountain. Okay, and other times we see where they walked, they followed Him, and as He's going up the mountain, some fell away. They wouldn't take it to the top. They wouldn't go to the length that He wanted them to go. And He was using what's called the winnowing fan. And the chaff blew away. And this is our lives sometimes, folks. We are going through trials and tribulations and nothing like others in this world. Let me tell you, I hear some of the stories directly from the people who are being persecuted. But we need to follow Him wherever He leads. And sometimes it's a tough place. It's a hard walk. And then He goes into saying, you are the salt of the earth. I mean, some guys here have talked about that. What's it mean to be salt? The salt of the earth. You're salty? Oh, He's really salty. No. No. Salt provides things. It provides flavor. It provides nutrition. Real salt, not this white stuff we call salt. Okay, we've talked about this. And salt does what else? It preserves. And we are to preserve the truth. We are to flavor or season the world with the message of Christ. We are to fill it, to feed it, to give nutrition from the Word of God to the world. And if salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It's then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Well, the salt they were using at that time likely would have come from the sea. They would have gathered it from the shores and it would have had some sand in it. And after the salt was extracted, after it was dissolved out, they'd take what was left and they'd throw it out to be walked on. Put it on the paths. Fill in the mud holes. You are the light of the world. Verse 14 tells us, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. I think that's where we will pause our... Well, maybe we'll read the next verse. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. And then he gives a whole lot of examples of how we think we're righteous, but we're not. Father, we ask that you would add your blessing to the reading and hearing of your word today, that all who are within the sound of my voice and all who will receive this message at other times and later dates would recognize that we are all to let our light so shine before others, that they would glorify you. We pray this all in Christ's name. And all of God's people said, after telling people in this crowd of the blessings, he said, you're the light of the world. Now remember, he had previously told his disciples, I am the light of the world. He said he was the light of the world. And now he's telling them, you are the light of the world. So what's that say? He's speaking to people that were filled with light. His people. His followers. The word in that sentence, he says, you are the light of the world. That you is exactly you. And then you collectively. So it's you individually and it's you collectively. And when he says are, it's present tense. That means now. You are the light of the world. Now. Now, that was then. They were the light of the world then. We, believers in Christ, today are the light of the world. Now. Or at least we're supposed to be. Because that's what he says. It's his word. Individually and together, we are the light of the world. So individually, you, I, all of us, individually, are to live in such a way that people will glorify God. And then together, as a church, we are to live in such a way that people will see the way that we live and they will glorify God. So as a family of believers, we are to love one another. And they'll know that we're His. That's what His Word says. He's not just saying you're a physical light. I thought about shutting all the lights and shining a little flashlight up on the ceiling. Can anybody see the light? He's not saying you're a physical light. It's a spiritual light. The light that emanates from within you is like that light in a dark cavern, when you light that flashlight, boo, everything lights up. And spiritually, you are to bring light into the world. Show them the way out of the darkness. See, he's speaking metaphorically. He's speaking symbolically. It's lights being used there as a figure of speech. Each believer, spiritually speaking, is bringing Christ's light to bear upon the world like a city that's on a hill. The city on a hill shines because it is lit. It has light. I remember one time I was on the highway, probably about 1999, out near New York City, and from the highway, I was miles away, probably 20 miles away. I could see the light of the city. I could see those towers lit up. I could see the light of the city. And this is what he's talking about. Off in the distance, you are that light so that somebody that's even far away get a glimpse of that light and maybe move toward it. That's what he's saying. And churches, likewise. Whole bodies, whole groups are to be like that light that's on a hill Because that spiritual light is observed by all who are in darkness. And that means now, presently, any given moment, wherever you are, you're to be the light. He added, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. They put it on a candlestick. A candlestick is something like maybe so tall. A candlestick could be even smaller if it's on a table. The candlestick holds the light, and the light is presented from it. And all in the house will see that light. But the idea of a candlestick, or a lampstand as it's translated in some versions, has different meanings. Individually, we all individually shine the light of Christ. And that helps others around us to see through the spiritual darkness. Because all around us, we know that people are losing hope. We know that the world is in a sad condition. We know that people need to find what it is that we have. And so we need to lead them. But in the first chapter of Revelation, as the Apostle John describes his initial meeting with Christ, he says this, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Said, I heard a great voice as of a trumpet. This wasn't the meek and mild Jesus that's portrayed in modern Christianity. This is the risen Lord. This is the Savior. This is the one who will stand in judgment over all on that great judgment day. And he said, here's the message I want you to give to these churches. As John continues, he wrote, then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the middle of those seven candlesticks was one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. And then in Revelation 1:16, we hear, he had in his hand, his right hand, seven stars. And then in Revelation 1:20, the Lord clarifies the mystery there. Because he saw the candlesticks, he saw the stars. Now John's pondering this all in his mind. What is all this? This imagery doesn't make sense to him. And our Lord clarifies the mystery of the seven stars which John saw in his right hand. And the seven golden candlesticks. And the seven stars, he said, are the angels of the churches. Now angels there means messengers. And it speaks of pastors. Like yours truly. The seven stars are the pastors of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which you saw are the seven churches. The candlesticks are supposed to hold the light and bear the light. Every church is a candlestick to lift up and present the light. Let their light so shine before men that men, people, may see their good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. This is what's written. See, the candlestick isn't just an individual. It's a group of individuals, such as ourselves. At least that's what we're supposed to do. Sadly, many churches are no longer proclaiming the light. They're no longer shining the light. They have darkness in their midst, and they're shining the darkness, if such a thing is possible. Many of the churches today are like the ones written of in Revelation. I don't want us to be that way, folks. As God builds this body of believers, I want us to be people of the light. I want us to be those who shine the light out into the world. That we are those who so shine the light that others will see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Our Lord warned each of the churches, and by extension, all churches throughout all time. After warning each one, He said, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And this is directed to us too. Let us hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The time is drawing near, my friends, my brothers, my sisters. The time is drawing near. The church of Ephesus left their first love. I'm not going to go through all the churches. There's seven churches. That's a whole series of messages, and I'm not going to get into that. But I want to just touch on something here, okay? Because the church of Ephesus left their first love. Our Lord told them to remember where they had fallen from. And there are those that say, "Oh, you can't fall from anything. You can't fall in Christianity. Oh, you're standing in the grace of God and you can't fall." Okay. Well, Jesus said they did. And He commanded them to repent and do the first works. Do what they had been doing before they fell. Or else He would come to them and remove their candlestick. Remember the candlestick, the church, is the one that's proclaiming the light. Jesus said, "I'll remove that candlestick. You'll no longer shine the light." That's what He was telling them. Either you repent, you turn, you stop doing what you're doing and do what you're supposed to do, what you know to do, what you used to do, or I'll take the light out of you. You're not going to have the light anymore. This is what He's warning them. Unless they repent. It's a warning and a promise. Because He's telling them, if you, the church, do not do what I say to do, then you will no longer have the light to shine. He'll take it out. He'll remove the light from the churches that leave Him. This is what He says, and I do not want us to be a church in darkness. I want us to be a church in light. I want us to be bathed in the light. I want us to shine the light. I want everybody to know that we are in the light and we're shining it out into the world. Might be ambitious, but I don't think so. I think it's exactly what God wants for this church. Whether it's this church that meets in this building, or by extension those that join us on Facebook, or by extension even further, those all over the world who are receiving messages because we record them and we put them online. I received a message from somebody from South Africa yesterday saying, "Thank you so much for your messages online." I received from people in Australia. I think it was 39 or 40 countries last month where people listened in from. We get a lot of listeners in D.C. and Virginia too. Yeah. Praise the Lord. There's people all over the world and all over the country that are receiving the truth because we preach Christ. I believe Almighty God has begun removing the light of the gospel from many churches. I think that's why we see buildings closing down. But they were shining the light. Excuse me. If they were shining the light, they'd grow. Many are void of the truth of God's Word, and this has caused them to be without light. And therefore they're unable to see, and they can't show anybody else the true way of Christ. Without the light, they can't see themselves. They stumble in the darkness, the Word says. It's written in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders." Now he's talking about people that are supposed believers. He said, they've got power. They got signs, and they got wonders, but these are lying wonders. And the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Perish! This is serious! And it's in our time. We see it today around us. The light's not being proclaimed, and they have walked away from their first works, and Almighty God is snuffing out the light, and they perish because of it. For this reason, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved, for this reason God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie. This is the darkness! This is the darkness that is coming upon this land right here in these United States of America. I don't know about anywhere else, but I can see it here. I see it. I see it all around me. I see it in every single situation that I deal with. I see the darkness is overtaking the light, and we, the people of Christ's family, must stand up and shine that light into the world. We must. Time is short for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts, it's written, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4. Excuse me, chapter 4 and verse 6. But just before that he says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them. He warns, His Word warns us that this time is coming, and here we have arrived. Now, there have been waves of this all through history. We've seen waves of darkness. In Mark chapter 4, the one we call Jesus, Yeshua, He said, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? We have the light. We need to proclaim the light. High. Not low. Not hidden. Oh, I've got the Word hidden in my heart, brother. It's got me saved. Oh, I'm saved by the grace of God. I've got the light. Well, shine it! Shine it in the darkness! There's nothing hidden, he says, which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. Don't think you've got some secrets from God. Okay? Don't think that darkness you have in your pocket is hidden from God. Because it isn't. And it doesn't matter if you're an individual, it doesn't matter if you're a church, it doesn't matter if you're a gathering, or if you're just a single person. You can't hide from God. He knows the truth. Just as a baby lives in darkness within the mother's womb, we looked at this last week, and so do we live in darkness when we are outside of Christ. To enter Christ, we must leave the darkness. We must be born again. We must be reborn. We must come out of the darkness. I heard a preacher this morning, as a matter of fact, compare Christ to the sun above the earth. The sun shines, it's bright. And the Lord in His Word compares, He says that God Himself made the light to shine. There was the bright light and there was the lesser light. The sun, and what was the lesser light? The moon. Okay? And this preacher compared believers to the moon that reflects the light of the sun. Alright? The light doesn't come from the moon. The moon doesn't have its own light. It shines that light from the sun. And if I remembered his name, I'd say it. I would give him credit because it's not my original thought. But Chris and I were listening to the sermon. She said, that's really a good illustration. I said, yes, it is. And I'm going to add it to my sermon this morning. And he says, when does the moon not reflect the sun? When does the moon stop reflecting the sun? During an eclipse. When the world gets between the sun and the moon. Let that sink in, folks. Let that sink in for a moment. If Christ is the light and He proclaims us to be the light, what would stop us from shining the light, church? Think about it. The world. The world gets between us and Christ. The world. And it doesn't matter if it's sin. Sin matters. Don't get me wrong. But it's not just about sin. Sometimes it's just the world. Oh, I'm so busy, Pastor. I'm sorry. I can't come to services because I'm just so busy. I've got so much to do. I just have to.
Oh, we got a lot of things. Everybody's got everything to do. We could all find reasons not to gather together. We don't have to gather ourselves together, right? After all, where's it in Scripture? It says, "But to forsake not the gathering of yourselves together." And we are called, and I'm not calling anybody out here. Please, don't get me wrong. This is all part of the message of Christ. He wants all of us to walk in the light. He wants all of us to gather ourselves together. He wants all of us to take that light and shine it out into the world. He wants all of us to be in the light, walking in the path of light, shining that light out into the world so that each and every one of us draw others out of the darkness and into the light. And as a church, as a body of believers, this is part of our role. We are to do that. We are to draw people out of the darkness and into the light. We are to shine the light of Christ. I have these little pocket flashlights that I pass as Pastor John gives everyone the light. Because I do. That's the only thing I know how to do. That's what I'm made for. That's my purpose. But it's not just my purpose. I'm not the only one. He says, you all, each and every one of you who are believers, are to shine the light. You are to let your light so shine that others see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Whether it's the darkness of sin or the absence of good works, it's all of the world. Let me tell you something, folks. We can't shine too much light. There is nothing in the Scripture that says, well, you got to shine the light, but here's the limits. Box that in a little bit, Pastor. Box that in a little. Come, let's narrow that down a little bit. We got to shine the light, but, you know, no. Let your light so shine that others will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And this is what we are to do. And you can't do it too much. You can't do it too far. You can't do it too wide. I've had pastors now in India. Just recently had another pastor contact me from India. Want me to come to India to preach the word. They've heard my sermons. They've listened to the sermons online, I guess. God said, let there be light. And there was light. Obviously, that was physical light. But God also said, let there be light. And there was light. And it was spiritual light. I want each of you to accept His light. I want you to walk in His light. I want you to shine His light. I want you to be visions of light for others, like a city set on a hill, that they can be guided to the light through you. I want you, those who might be walking in darkness, I want you to find that light. I want you to flee the darkness. I want you to allow the light to enter. Our Lord said if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. We need to be people of the day, the Scripture goes on to say. You're not of the night. You're of the day. His way of living is different from that of the world. And when the world gets between us and Him, the light can't shine. It's just that plain and simple. There's no way around it. You can't say, well, you know, except. No. There's no exceptions. The light either shines through you because it comes from Him through you, or it doesn't. And if it doesn't, then you need to see what's wrong. Check your relationship with Him. You're either part of the light or you're part of the darkness. You're either moving toward Him or you're moving away from Him. And those who are part of both, the light and the darkness, you know what He calls them, don't you? Further along in Revelation, He calls them lukewarm. He said He'd rather you were cold or hot. He doesn't want you to be lukewarm. He wants you to be fully immersed in the light. As I wrap this up, I want you to remember. I know some of you have probably come under the sting of conviction today. And I want you to remember that is the love of God calling you to walk fully in the light. It's not a punishment. If you're feeling bad about anything in your life, confess it to God. Say, God, I'm sorry. Help me to walk nearer to You. Help me to walk in that light. Help me to step in the light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Jesus said, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in Me should not abide in darkness. Abide means remain, stay, keep yourself in. So you're going to come out of the darkness. You're going to be reborn. You're going to be born again. Unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. This is what He says. God so loved the world that He sent the light to draw us out of darkness. And the one that we call Jesus provides the strength within all of us who are fully surrendered to overcome darkness. We don't need to walk in darkness. We've been set free from darkness. We've been liberated from the prison of sin. We've been brought out into the glorious light of Christ. He enables and empowers you to abstain from all appearance of evil, to shine His light brightly. Nobody can shine too much light. Doesn't matter what anybody says. You can't shine too much light. Any more than you can be too humble, or any more than you can be too loving, or any more than you can be too giving, or too forgiving. Nobody can shine too much light. I want each of you to examine yourselves in the light of Scripture. And if you feel the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart today, right now, I want you to come forward and we'll pray for you. We'll pray for you, folks. Because we don't want you to be outside of the light on that great judgment day. We want you to flee the darkness. We want you to step into the light and live in that light. And we want you to shine that light to others. It's part of our testimony. You know, I tell people all the time, you wouldn't believe what a deplorable sinner I was in between preaching and preaching. If anybody tells you he was a deplorable sinner, he says he was. I was. People that know that. Anybody could come out and say, I knew him when. Yeah, well, doesn't matter when. What matters is now. That's what matters for each and every one of you in your lives. It matters now, because now is the day of salvation. Choose today. Choose now whom you will serve. You can't shine too much light, ladies and gentlemen. Flee the darkness and let your light so shine that others see your life and glorify Almighty God. Is the message of the gospel. Let's pray. Father, for those who have come under conviction in this message, I ask that you would show them that this is your love calling them out of the darkness into the light. Help us all to let our light so shine before others that they would see our good works and glorify you in heaven. We know that Christ came as a light into the world, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. They would not abide in darkness. You loved the world so much that you sent your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. And so, Father God, I ask if there's anyone within the sound of my voice who's standing on the edge of darkness. I ask that you would pour out your Spirit upon them, that they would come out of the darkness and into your light. Help us to flee the darkness, Lord, every little bit of it. Help us to step into the light and live in the light as you are in the light. And help us to let our light so shine that others will see it and glorify you. I pray in Christ's name, and all of God's people said, Amen. And now, if you will, open your hymnals to number 530. We will sing Battle Hymn of the Republic. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Number 530. And if you can, please stand.
Hi, this is Michaela. We're going to like sing with us next Sunday.